Welcome to Starfleet Universe On Call. I am Paul Franz, owner of Franz Games. I run SFB Online, FedCom Online, and Starfleet Warlord. Just a reminder, join us. We have a talkcast every Thursday night starting at 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time. You can either call on the phone, just dial 605-562-0444. Just follow the directions. The call ID is 17702. Or you can participate on the web. Just go to the Talks website at www.talkshoe.com. Search for call ID 17702. Or Starfleet Universe On Call, and you will find us there. Also, if you want to join our lovely chat room, and probably the best place to view us and watch us live is actually going to be over at Twitch. Go to twitch.tv/SFU On Call, and you'll find us right there, and you can listen in on that and be a part of the chat room. It's a great bunch of fellows over there. I think they're all fellows. Anyway, and of course, if you need to contact me for any reason, my email address is sfuoncall@gmail.com. That's sfuoncall@gmail.com. Also, if you want to follow me on Twitter, my podcast account is also sfuoncall. And if you want to follow my personal account, that's Paul Franz, P-A-U-L-F-R-A-N-Z. There's no T in it. And just a reminder that if you want to follow me, I love being Catholic. I'm a rabid O's fan. And of course, I love technology, so if any of those bothers you, don't follow me. And of course, I have the tertiary account, the last count, because I have multiple Twitter accounts, don't we all? And that's Franz Games, and that's if you want to follow, see what's happening for Starfleet Warlord, and see what's happening for SFB Online or FedCom Online. Go there. And of course, the lovely Talkcast gets turned to a podcast available on iTunes and various other feeds around the network. When it comes to news this week, there's not much news going on this week. We got, from ADB, we got new hailing frequencies came out just this week. Also, StratCon is currently happening in Amarillo. So if you wanted to be there, too late. Because by the time you hear this, I'm sure it's going to be close to being over. Anyway, and of course, the reminder that ADB has lots of free stuff on their website. So just go to StarfleetGames.com. There's a whole index for resources. Look for resources, and you will find so many things that you can get that can download right from the website, or possibly even just referred to another website, i.e., like the Cadet Training Manual. Moving onward and forward, when it comes to SFB Online Tournament, there currently is no tournament being run. The Sapphire Star 11 tournament was completed. The normal judge for it, since Steve Petrick has been out indisposed, has been Andrew. And Andrew actually is going to be on vacation for a little bit, and so that's going to be delayed for the next one to come in. Also, a reminder, when it comes to, we do have videos at on YouTube, just look for SFU Online Client Channel, and you'll find some videos there. Now, I'll be honest here. Those are getting a little long in the tooth. I have not uploaded any new ones as of late. Of course, this lovely podcast is, there's actually videos for all this lovely podcast that I do every week, and I post it up on YouTube. Obviously, if you want to, you can also go to twitch.tv and you can find the last episode there. But if you want to see past episodes, you can either watch them or just listen to them, because Lord knows that's what some people actually do with YouTube, which is a video. I'm not going to try to get my hand around it, but you can listen to it there. Obviously, if you want to just listen to it, you can listen to a podcast. You can go to, any of your podcast catchers, whether it's podcast or on Apple or Outcast, also available on for iOS and all the multitude of podcatchers that are out there. When it comes to libraries, not much happening there. I haven't got any updates or any corrections. So with that is the news for this week. And it's me, it's the one and only Paul Franz, welcoming you to Starfleet Universe On Call. And tonight, it's just me, and we've got all the lovely people in the chat room. So I think it's going to be a wonderful, wonderful night. I'm hoping that those of you who are listening or watching later on will actually enjoy the full podcast. The original plan for tonight went out the window because I want to talk about the new rules for the Franzites. Somebody submitted, I talked about it for 3 weeks ago, I think, at this point, which was the whole idea of a SFB Online specific empire. And this one of our listeners, Sean, he created the Franzites. It's like, okay, Franzites. So how you know, why not? Which is specifically for playing with SAP Online, at least when it comes to some of the abilities and so forth, or the online client, the idea is the online client can implement those a lot easier. But I wanted to talk to Barry about that. I didn't want to do it by myself. I'm going to put this off to next week. Now, if Barry's, again, not available next week, we will definitely do that talk. In the meantime, I had to do a quick pull up my sleeve, you know, roll up my sleeve and then figure out something. Fortunately, I've been working on a minor little project of mine for maybe a couple of weeks now. And it has to do with Starfleet Warlord. For those people who don't like Starfleet Warlord, if you want to, you can stop now and so forth. But if you want to, you can listen on because of what is happening. It's slow progressing, but okay, let's be honest. I know that when it comes to Starfleet Warlord, when it comes to the online aid that has been promised for coming up on 2 years now, the guy who's implementing it, Dirk, to say the very least, has had issues with his team because it keeps on hiring these kids in college, and you know they're great when they're in school. Of course, when they come up with finals, that work stops. If they graduate, then they stop because usually they graduate and they go on to an actual daytime job, and they go out the window again. So I don't feel fully confident that Dirk will get it done in a reasonable amount of time. I think he will get it done, and it's gonna be gorgeous. It's gonna be great when it gets done. But in the meantime, the one thing that I wanted to give people the ability to do is actually submit their orders, or at least be able to work on their orders on something other than pen and paper. Let's say they're away on vacation, pen and paper, or they have to bring their laptop with them or something like that. And I'm hoping what I plan on doing will work. Now, here's the plan. The plan is create a very basic, I mean basic. Basic website. All it does is one thing and one thing only. It doesn't. It's not the full-time aid. It's not have all of these features and managing the turns and managing your games and all that kind of thing. No. Even the Iggy. The idea is that it is basic. You know, we're going for the whole idea of least viable product. I think that's the term. Minimum viable product. That's it. That's the term I'm looking for. Now, with minimum viable product, one of the things that you need is what is the minimum that people are going to need to use it. Now, in the case of Starfleet Warlord game, so forth, most people have been doing this for a long time. Minimum viable product for them is a turn that gets sent by email. That's the minimum viable product. Have it so they can take their orders, write them down, send them in, and then get them back in like PDF or whatever form that they wanted in. I usually submit it both in text form and PDF form. Those are the two forms I give, and of course, then we have the different maps that show up. You know, they're usually these days PDF form and in JPEG form. I'm still got to work on the JPEG because of the JDK updated and the fonts that, actually not the JDK, I think it's the operating system I use. I upgraded it and I think that it's missing some fonts, and that's why the text is very poor. But anyhow, this, getting back to the minimum viable product, that to start for the world, that's the minimum viable product. But here's the problem. Here's the issue. And that is currently the Starfleet Warlord has an aid. You know, if you want to do it electronically, you can do it electronically. And that saves you time, saves you money, saves me time. And therefore, that's why it saves you money, because it saves me time. Now, given that not everyone's going to bring their laptop on vacation with them, if they want to get their turns in on time and so forth. And in some cases, it's hard to work on it, you know, like 2 weeks before vacation. It's not easy, especially if you're going to be on vacation the week before the turns are due. You have to work on your turns 2 weeks before, and usually the week before, and when it comes to work and when it comes to activities, they're all focused on one thing, and that's going on vacation. Whether it's getting the last bit of, we need an extra piece of luggage. Whoops, you know, I need to finish this project before I go on vacation so that, you know, my coworkers aren't, you know, hung high and dry because I'm not going to be available. You know, things like that. So the idea is simple. But that is, have a website where then you could upload the orders to, because if it's a website, then you don't have to worry about having deployed in the app stores or anything like that. Because Lord knows, I'm willing to bet you dollars to donuts, if I produce this, I might be able to get away with it for a little bit. I'm not sure if I can, because the problem is the terms that I use. Klingons, Federation of Planets, Romulans. These are Star Trek items. And tough part is I can't do it by myself in that case because of, I'm basically on a contractor for ADB when it comes to the legalese of the actual licensing agreement. Because Steve Cole is not sub-licensing it at all. He's just hiring me to run and create these tools, basically. That's what it comes down to. I'm not actually an employee, but I'm kind of a contractor, independent contractor kind of thing. At least that's the way I think that the law would see it. Whatever. So websites make the most sense. So what I did, now, I have not tried this on a mobile device yet. First and foremost, you have to get it working. To get it working, I need to use a desktop, because the desktop is going to provide me the best debugging environment that I can have, especially when it comes to web pages. I could probably do it on my iPad. I have to double check that. Pretty sure you can put the browser into debug mode. You know, so you have web inspectors and things like that. I'm not sure, but in any case, I'll stick with the desktop at the moment when it comes to that. Now, I figured what I should do is, what I wanted to do tonight was actually show you some, basically, they're not quite screenshots, they're printouts of, now these are actual, what the website looks like. So they're kind of like screenshots, but not quite. I simplified it because of the idea is simple when it comes to the website. The website stores no information. The idea is that you take the turn file. Now, I still have to talk about the turn file. and which is, I know what I like to do, but I think that there's a better option, which means creating another file to go to be sent out. Not the greatest solution, but I think it's a solution that is worth trying out and see people will be willing to use. That is, so you load up the turn file, whatever format that is, bring it up on the web page. It gets loaded onto the web page. And then after you're all said and done, you can say, click, save orders. And what will happen is it won't save it on the website. It won't even submit it on the website, though I'm sure some people would appreciate that, would like that instead. But because this is not tied to anyone's user account, then you click the save orders, and then you can download a copy of your orders file. And then when you also, you know, if you're, I would do this, you know, every single time you're done working on it, I would do that just to be safe. When it comes to mobile browsers, I'm not quite sure about them. Because if they ever have to do a refresh, therefore anything that was played on the page will go, they'll disappear. Because that's how I'm testing it right now. It's like, load up the orders file, and then if I need to test the new one, obviously I have to refresh it so I can load up the latest code. But also, everything that I loaded previously is now gone. So that's why I say that. And the whole idea is that I have no back end. The reason why I don't want to have a back end is because if I have no back end, there's less resources that I need to have available. Less resources available means I can, if I really want to, well, two things can happen. One, I can post this anywhere. Number two, in theory, and I'd have to look at this because I'm pretty sure I can do this. I could probably do what's called a PWA, a progressive web app. The idea being that you can take the whole web app itself, the thing that's just download from the website, because it's just a web page. It's not like an APK file or an actual program that gets installed on your computer. It downloads and saves the content of the website on your phone or your tablet. And given that, it can then you can work on it offline for all you want. But as I said, initially I don't want it to be anything but, you know, load up on the website, and that's it. It works on the page. At least this is the first go around, because as I'm talking to you, the one thing that I do when I start talking about the progressive web app, the one thing I remembered about the progressive web apps, and more importantly, websites, and how progressive web apps and worker something. The exact term. Service workers. That's it. Service workers. Bingo. And that is that with the current set of browsers, they're very advanced. And Lord knows they're getting to a point which I think they should not be getting to myself, which is Google themselves. They want the web browser to be the operating system. They want to have access to Bluetooth, local resources, and all this through the browser. That's not what the browser is supposed to be, a sandbox. It's supposed to be protected from anything that you're loading up. Because remember, everything that you load up into your browser has the possibility of being malicious. That's exactly what you want to avoid. You want to avoid malicious code being loaded up on your computer. That's why emails are so dangerous. Clicking on links are so dangerous. You know, don't let me scare you. But, you know, that's the kind of thing that can happen. You know, it could be worse. How do you think some of these phones get hacked? know, the whole idea of previewing a web page. You have to instantiate all, you know, what's the JavaScript and so forth that's on the web page for to actually preview. So you're running unsolicited code, possibly unwanted code on your phone, which of course, if there's a 0-day vulnerability, i.e., a vulnerability that's not known, someone can hack into your computer that way. No. And I'm saying for all phones, iPhones or Androids, that 0 days exist for both. So don't iPhone people, don't be smug. It might be a little more difficult, but you know, they're still there. Now, let me go back to that. When it comes to the progressive web apps, one thing I can do is actually, when you load it up, that can then be stored in a local database in your associated with that web page on your browser. So, that it's called I think it's called local storage. And I can look into that, but first things first, one step at a time, because the first step in this whole process when it comes to this simplified order processor. It's not even the aid. It's order processor. That's all it is. And because it's just an order processor, all it has to do is read the order file and help you to produce the order file. And that's it. That is it. It doesn't have to manage the whole turn and all those kind of other things, because that's all you can, if you really want to, this all gets sent via email. So if you want to, save the email. And yeah, save the email in your email client. Now, one thing I just thought of, which is one thing I might want to do in the future, is have the ability to change the subject line. Because currently, the subject line is the same for every single email you get for a game. It's like, here's your new turn. What might be a good idea is actually mention what year that turn is for. I think people might like that. It's a nice little feature, because then people can save the individual emails into a folder on their in their email client, and so that you can easily tell which turn it is for that individual email that you keep, if you want to use that for managing your orders or managing your turns, knowing what the previous turns were and so forth. Now, I have not had anyone yet complain about the zip file. And possibly want to have expanded zip file or expanded stuff. If this actually works the way I want it to work, which is basically you get the orders, you save the order file locally on your phone or tablet, and then you go to the web page, you load up that order file into the web page, then you save it, you can save it back to the phone. Then you go to your email client, grab the file, and then mail it in to me. So the only thing that you really needed to help you was an order process, an order program, or in this case, the web page. Which I think would be a good idea, you know? And have it so people can manage things completely in their email client, if they want to manage them at all. I'm assuming they might want to, but of course, if you do that, then I can see people wanting to take the map files, have them extracted out of the zip file, and have it so just double click and it shows up as part of the email. Much better experience, and maybe I'll look into. See how hard that might be to do sooner than later. But anyway, so that, that so I think that is, it's a simple idea. I've got it part of the way there. I've got the loading part. I got so you can edit the orders. Now, this is simple. This is silly simplified. Minimum viable product means it doesn't do squat. It allows you to create the orders. It allows you to save the orders. That's it. It does not validate the orders. It doesn't do any of that. And doesn't have, take this line and copy it. So it's the same line, bum, 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 just copy it down. Special, the one thing I might have, I just remember, the minimum viable product, certain things I have to do. Whether it is, when it comes, whether it would be pressing a key or pressing a button to allow the special orders, scan ships, scan territory, terrain, scan cloak, prospecting, things like that that have to be on column zero. Now, in theory, you can do that now, even without the special keys. The only thing you'd have to make sure that you do is make sure that you put it in column zero. Maybe I can get over that for a first time around. Anyway, so why don't I share what that is going to look like, at least initially. This is the first go around. It's very simple. This is what the website's going to look like. Now, there's certain things obviously going to be tweaked. Right now, I've got it so it basically works. I want to change some of the things here, but the idea is here. This is what it's going to come up with. It looks like here's the ship order. So this is going to have your listing of your ships, extra orders, those here, and then Starbase orders here. And because of this file is going to be smarter than the aid, in that currently the current version of the aid doesn't know how many Starbase orders you have, how many extra orders that you have. This one will. So that helps. Now what's going to happen, the way it operates is you click this button at the top. It says orders file. You click on the choose file button. It's going to be a standard choose file dialog. It's going to pop up. And when it pops up, then you select your file. And as soon as you select the file, it will load that orders file. Now, at the moment, what will happen is that if it's an invalid file, it will basically process it in the JavaScript and probably fail all over itself. Now, if you try to load an invalid file, then a valid file, I'm not sure what would happen. My guess at the moment is that it would be fine because in itself, the web page doesn't have any idea of state. Meaning that outside of the UI, there's no internal state to the website itself. And that's fine. So then you enter all the orders here. Boom, boom, boom. When you're done, you click save orders. Actually, this up here, I need to change it. I'm guessing what I might want to do is have this up here. And then this section, that's going to be a scrollable section. It's going to be independently scrollable. I got to figure out how to do that. But I think that's the best way of doing it. It would be have it here and then have it have the order file here and maybe save orders over here. So that you click here, loads it up, click over here, saves it. And then this will just scroll up and down. But this will always remain at the top of the page. Top of the screen where you're working. And after you load it, then what will happen is it'll look something along the lines of this. This is not exactly the perfect, but it'll give you an idea. It's okay. On the actual website, the headers here, they're gray. And then the rest of the cells are white. So, you know, you have your designator, you have your name on, okay, the columns are designator, name, location, move 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6, and the last one is info. So you still have all the info, you have info about that unit. I want to say ship, but it's not a warp gate, not really a ship per se, if you think about it. And the idea is that these here, the different cells are editable. Now, at the moment, as initial pass, initial go through, the none will not be locked down like they currently are. So if you need to do a prospecting, you do a PRSP here, delete this none, and just have the rest of it blank. If you need a scan a terrain, you put, you know, in we have the, in this case, the first one. For those who are not just listen to the podcast, the first line is a warp gate. Warp gate, in this case, looks like it's, I've got reverse movement initiated for this turn, because the nuns are first instead of being last. It comes to non-movements. But in the case of warp gate, okay, we have the first ones are two nuns, you know, N-O-N-E, not nuns as in Catholic sisters. But you know, you put scan in one move and then T-E-R-R for terrain in the second one, or scan ship, or scan cloak, C-L-L-O-A. And that's one thing I'm going to see if I can do, at least validate that there's for move 1 through 6, that each cell contains a 4-character, an order less than 5 characters. So 4 characters or less. And as I said, currently, you know, the way I have it set up is that the whole thing scrolls. You know, it's one big page, and then the order file and save orders are, they scroll off the page. But as I was talking to you guys, ladies and gentlemen, members of the jury, that, you know, think about it now. I like to have it so that doesn't scroll, but the moment it does, it's actually at the top of the page, and that's it. So if you go down here, keep going, ba ba ba. Let's scroll all the way down to here. It is, and the extra orders. You have the order, and you have the parameters 1 through 6, and then you have what's called the long parameter field. The long parameter field, if most of you guys who play Starfleet Warlord know, if you actually look at the orders, you have that one last field, which is really long. The idea being that long parameter field can be used to send messages, to assign names to ships, assign default prefixes, things like that. Things that are going to be greater than 4 characters, because the order, it can only be 2 characters, and the parameter 1 through 6 fields, those fields only can be 4 characters. That is by definition the way the Warlord stuff works. Now, Starbase orders, they just have the order and then they have the 6 parameters. So it looks almost exactly the same as extra orders. But you know, in this case, I gotta check that. I'd have to check. I don't even remember what turn I did this one, because this one has 21 Starbase orders, which means I'm pretty sure it's in. Yeah, I think I got this one because it was a huge. You know, the number of ships is a lot. It's like how many? When I printed it out, it was. Give me a sec here. There it is. approximately 7.5 pages of ships. Now, when I printed out the web page. Now, when it comes to a report, it would be 7.5 pages. No, it wouldn't be 7.5 pages because the text would be a heck of a lot smaller. But still, this is a person who has a lot of ships. Now, don't worry about these ships. This is from an old game. I know one thing, that this is from an old game. So anyone who's playing Starfleet Warlord, don't look at these ships, because they don't exist, and they're not where you think they are. Because I think this was from Die Hard 51, if I recall correctly. And it's like from like year like 198, something like that. It was late. And, you know, I'm pretty confident it was year 198. So that's the way it's supposed to look. You know, some of that's the minimum viable product. And a minimum viable product, a product that's out the door, beats any dream product that's going to be, that it's always, oh, it's going to be here soon. It's going to be here soon. It's going to be here soon. People want a product that they can use now, not soon. So, as I said, unfortunately, I didn't have time to actually upload this to a website so you can actually see the interaction. Because I've been doing this all directly on my laptop. Everything. Serving up the pages, so forth, is all local, which was annoying as heck. Because I could not load it up. I understand what they're trying to do, but it just makes development all the more difficult. And that is that. Originally, I didn't have a web server for loading this up on my laptop. I was just loading up as a file, because that's all you need, right? I'm not having services. Everything's going to be done directly in the actual, you know, web page. What happens? I start getting errors. And there are, I think it's CORS errors, C-O-R-S. I forget exactly what that stands for, but basically it's a security error. Because I'm trying to run JavaScript on a page that I'm loading locally. Now, that I understand. Okay, you're trying to protect your users from malicious code being loaded from a file that's on your computer and have it run. I totally understand that. Here's the problem. I have no way of disabling that. I would love to disable that feature. For what I'm doing, I understand the risks. When I disable that feature, but for what I am doing, disabling that feature would help me not have to run a stupid web server. And I mean, this is a dumb web server. I looked it up, you know, a simple web server, and there are actually multiple ones that are actually included. And to be honest, I think that I found the one for Go and one for Python. I forget if there's anyone else. There might be one for Rust. But definitely, you know, I saw those. It's like, oh, okay, so I ran the one with Python, for Python, because it's included as part of Python itself. You don't have to install any additional packages for Python. It's included with the Python core. But it's lazy. And then you go, okay, well, I'll use that one. Now, the reason why I even bring this up at all that made me think about Java, because Java is actually going to be introducing it, in, I think, in JDK 17 or 18, I forget which. They're actually going to introduce a nice simple web server, which I'm willing to bet that's why they did that. But, you know, so my what I need is very simple. And as I said, if I can, this is kind of like, to a certain degree, like Wordle. Because of Wordle, now I'm not going to say it's going to be as popular as Wordle. I'm not saying that. Architecturally speaking, I want it to be like Wordle, in that there's nothing. All the web server is doing is serving up static content. That's all it's doing. It doesn't need to do anything else. And if I truly doubt this, if it ever gets large, what can I do? I can put it behind a CDN and it'd be perfect. What I'd hope actually before then is that I could convert it into a PWA, and that's where people can actually install it on their phones or on their tablets or possibly on their computers and do it that way. You know, I think that would be the best. In that case, I wouldn't have to load up on my, you wouldn't be hitting my web server at all. Though, with PWAs, I think they still query the website to see if there's updates, things like that. So, anyhow, that's a quick view of what I've been working on. And, oops, wrong number. I think something that several Warlord people could actually use. At the very least, it would be something that could be available when either they're having problems installing the A, because Lord have mercy. I forget the guy's name now, new guy, was interested in saying, oh, I can't download it. Windows won't let me, I forget what he exactly said. I don't think he said I had problems downloading the file. And he assumed it was all my fault. Well, to a certain degree, yes, it's my fault. But at the same time, unless someone, the one thing I can't take responsibility for is I have a very low traffic website, and Microsoft is deathly afraid of low traffic websites. What am I supposed to do if I have a low traffic website and anything I download from it's going to be looked as suspicious? The only thing I can do at the moment is, one, when people tell me that, hey, there's an issue for downloading the client, all of a sudden we can't download it because it's a suspicious website. It's like, no, it's not a suspicious website, you multi-million dollar corporation. It's completely valid. So, so I said, to a certain degree, yes, it's my fault. But it's also other people's responsibility to tell me that you can't do it. What am I supposed to do? I do not run Windows on a daily basis. I barely run Windows at work. I got my Mac here. I got my Mac for work over there. I log into some Windows VMs every once in a while. I log in to a Linux VM all the time, and I use that for my daily work. And multiple ones, because Lord knows I connect to VMs all over, not all over the world, but all over the country at the moment. I have yet to connect to ones, any of them in like the UK or India or whatever. Some of the places where my corporation has servers. I haven't connected them, but still, they're all Linux. So, Windows I don't use. So what am I supposed to do? How am I supposed to know that all of a sudden Microsoft themselves decided, we now institute a new restriction on downloads? How am I supposed to know that? Did they send out, it's possible that they posted up something on one of their blogs. Which one? The security blog? The normal news blog? The Windows blog? The Office blog? Which blog? Pick one. So when the Office, might be Windows, might be security. Might be, I'm not sure if they have one for Edge. Might be, I'm not sure what blogs that Microsoft actually has. And even so, you expect me to keep up to date on just on the chance that Microsoft does something that's going to break? You know, there's a degree which I'll take responsibility in fixing it. Yes, I'll go fix it. But at the same time, I need my anyone who wants to use my service take the responsibility, or at the very least the courtesy, to contact me. For the love of Pete, there's contact email addresses on my Play by Email web server. And if you want to, on SFB Online, there's a contact form. Use that if there's a problem. You know? And Lord knows, if you say, oh, well, if you want to expand your user base, you're going to need to do this. You know how big of a pain it is to get things more and more every single day, it seems like, that more and more Microsoft Windows and Mac OS, both of them are being tightened down, locked down to the point where the only way that you can possibly produce anything for those platforms is put in a web browser. That's your only in. So, you know, to that degree, the Microsoft and Apple are both forcing people to use the browser for delivering their applications. You know, there's a small piece. You know, you got the interactive games, and you've got the videos and the photo suites. Those are the only ones that you really, really need to be on your computer. All the rest can be done in the browser, from spreadsheets to documentation to writing to PowerPoint, you know, presentations. You can do all of those within the context of a browser. As I've said in the past, the whole idea is we're being pushed towards the browser as the UI. That you do everything in the browser. You know, and of course, I haven't been buying many apps lately. But of course, to be honest, I haven't been using that many websites either lately. So I can't really say the one without really being hypocritical. So, but anyway, sorry, well, little rant there. But as I've mentioned before, I truly feel that online, having the automate this whole process, because at some point, I can easily see the web page that has the orders. That instead of a little button that says save orders, it's a little button that says submit orders. And it's not just, you know, and in the case of a automated game, submit it, and all of a sudden you get the results. Now, the problem with that one is if I ever get to the automated solution that I want, that I desperately want. The question is going to come into being when it comes to that. Sorry, my cat. When it comes to that is like, how do you send the results? Do you send them to an email address? Do you make them as downloads? Do you then you have a web page which says that here's the results, and then if you want to, you can download it from there. How do you present the results of that turn for those automated games, where everything you submit the orders and then you get your turn. Now, as I said, the results, not sure. But at the moment, as I talked about tonight, which is the idea of having it so that you can organize your turns in your mail client. Because you can do that now. You really can. It's just that there are certain things that I could do to the mailings that I sent out to simplify that effort. Because I already have it so that you see the orders. So what will be, as I said, some of the things that would be make it simpler is, one, change it so that the subject for the email has the year of that turn. Number one. Dos, or number two. Have it so that the images, the maps, those, that's the the maps are included as attachments instead of put into the zip file as an attachment. Though I'm at the moment I'd have to do both. Obviously, when it comes to this, what I'm working on, that orders file is going to have to be an attachment, not part of the zip file, as an attachment, so that you have this, all you have to do is click that, download it, and then save it to wherever you want. Because I know, see, the thing is, that part of it, I know my iPhone can do it, I assume any Android phone can do, which means tablets, when it comes to iOS and Android, they're the same way. They both can do that easily. The tough part is going to be the uploads. Now, previously, the iPhone didn't let you upload files. But today, I think it does. And given that, then this is a possibility. Now, obviously, the tough part about right now is that this this is meant for a desktop. And I'm not sure how it would look on a phone. If the CSS takes into consideration the size of the screen or the window and it makes adjustments for that, I don't know. I will have to take a look-see at that. But, and I feel pretty confident saying that the iPhone allows you to get downloads from a website and store them on your phone. And I'm assuming Android allows you to do the same thing. And of course, then by that, also the tablets, both Android and iOS, or iPadOS, if you want to get pedantic about it. So I think it could be make things interesting a little bit easier. Obviously, as the first go around, I had not planned on doing any of the validation, and because at the moment I'm not sure. I don't feel confident about validation, and I can do it so that it can the validation, okay, here's the problem with validation. And I got one thing, I have to look at the component that this is based off of, because this is based off a jQuery editable table component. And I'm not sure. They say they have a validation. You can connect up a validation function into it. So the problem with validation functions is when you do a validation If it fails the validation, usually that means it's invalid data, and you get rid of the data. Now, and when it comes to Warlord, you can have it so that it does validation, but I don't want validation so it's a failure. I want validation so that I can mark it as an error and have someone go back and correct it, because errors aren't always errors in the case of Starfleet Warlord, because you don't know enough information, at least from the client's perspective. And that is, okay, for those of you who are actually watching the video, you can see this. The current location is 12-0611. Now, we don't know if there's a Stargate or if that's the location of a Stargate. So that if you move, you would actually trigger the Stargate, and the Stargate will take you to another location within the same sector. And then if you do that, that means even if, okay, you have a move that's in theory is invalid, but it's not. It's valid because if you went through a Stargate, and at the end, when you came on the other side, then everything from that point onward will be valid. Now, the aid at the moment is dumb to the degree it does not know about the Stargates that have been implemented. And so that you can't validate past you going through the Stargate. And the same for, and then I've learned my lesson. I've learned my lesson when it comes to rules. And that is for FedCom, I implement the rules. Now, the problem with implementing the rules is that if you get them wrong, if a player is trying to use it to play the game, and you get the rule wrong, or implement the rule wrong, then they can't play. And if you don't give them a workaround, because that's one thing with, I believe that I got it, when I didn't realize at the time, and that is when I first implemented SAP Online for SAP. Basically, it was just helpful hints. Oh, that's invalid. That's illegal. But I'll let you do it because I don't know what the scenario rules and so forth. But the same thing can happen in FedCom. But either there's temporary rules that are part of the scenario, or you have the rules are wrong when you implement them in the client. So that's happened when it comes to. Excuse me. Extra orders, or even Starbase orders, where I've had the issue where I've got them wrong. Now, they're marked in the aid as invalid, but they let you do it. So if I get it wrong and I miss the implementation, it still can be used. You just have to ignore it for that instance until I fix it. So that's the kind of validation I want. I want to have it so that it can change the color. Now, I'm not sure how to do that. Well, I might have to, I'd have to check to see how the value. In theory, I'm just thinking about it. The tough part is that I have to validate the whole table is what I have to do. Or not even the whole table. I need to validate the row that data has been inputted into. And it's not just, I need to validate this one cell. In theory, I can validate the one cell, but what you want to do is actually validate all the cells in that row. Because of when you've changed one in the beginning, it's going to invalidate all the rest of them. And then in the case of extra orders, it's either a valid order or valid set of parameters and orders, or it's not. That's the only two options. And as I said, as a minimum viable product, I wouldn't even do even the validation begin with, just to see how it works. Does it work well? Do people use it? Because I can create all I want, And I think it's a great idea myself. Something simple to allow people to use. Especially if they don't want to install the aid or have problems with installing the aid. Or as I said, you know, on vacation or doing something mobile. And if I change around the emails, it can be easier for people to use. As basically using the mail client as your aid, Starfleet Warlord aid. Well, I think most of you are tired of hearing me talking about Starfleet Warlord, but a reminder that Starfleet Warlord is available for the play. Just go to play-buy-e-mail.com. Don't ask me about that. There's a story there. Actually, what the heck? I'll go through it. It's a short story. When I first wanted to get the website, play by email as one thing without dashes was not available. So I said, okay, let's try play-buy-email.com. Nope, that one's not available either. Someone else had it. So I went, fine. Because email actually originally written was, it was e-mail. The idea is electronic mail. So I bought play-buy-e-mail.com. Now, the question you might want to say is like, why didn't you just buy Starfleet Warlord? Well, I did buy StarfleetWarlord.com. But here's the thing. I had bigger dreams than just Starfleet Warlord. I figured I could have support not for just Starfleet Warlord, but I could do Starfleet Battles, play by email. FedCom, play by email. Things like that, basically a whole system of play-by-email games. Problem is that this was many, many years ago where play-by-email actually was still a thing. Didn't think about the future, and now people are going to go more towards interactive games. So I still have, and since I have Starfleet War, I have a play-by-email, play-by-e-mail.com, and people know that one. I keep that one. Now you know the story. So with that, I am Paul Franz, and I bid you a good night.